for What's Up with oppositionalist MP Paul Goldsmith.
Kia ora, Paul. How are you?
Kia ora. Very well, thank you.
It's good to have you on the show today. It is very much election season. In fact, the polls are open now and people are heading in to vote. And it's not that long till it all wraps up, really. About 10 days until it's all done and dusted. And it is starting to heat up. We saw the leaders' debate last night down in Christchurch. And I wanted to start by asking you a little bit about some of the housing policy that National has put out in the last week, particularly the rent-to-own scheme. Can you tell us a little bit about what this is?
Oh, well, that's for people who are in state houses and who had a good track record and want to have a process to get into the into a house, and we want to make that happen. The government had talked about that for a long time, but haven't really made much progress, as they haven't in many areas of housing policy. So it's one way. The broader issue, of course, is to try and reduce the cost of producing new houses so that more New Zealanders can get into their own home, and that's fundamentally starting off with RMA and changing the whole approach of councils, which are slow to get things through and adding costs through that process. So that's the most critical thing we can do, is just try and make progress on that front.
So changing the RMA is something that a lot of parties have been talking about. It's obviously not working very well at the moment, but there has been a bit of debate about how that should happen and in what ways it should be going forward. What is the National Party's position on it?
We've been trying to review the RMA for a long time. We didn't have the numbers in the previous Parliament to get it through. Now I think there's widespread agreement that we've got to start again. The worry that we have, of course, is that if Labor and the Greens started again, that'd make it even worse.
In what way would you imagine?
The problem is there's just too many opportunities for people who want to stop things happening and to make it longer and more unpredictable. And so that just makes development and getting housing built more expensive. And so we need a culture that says, yes, let's make it happen and let's focus on making it easier for people to build houses, to open up land for development, and also to put in the infrastructure that's required. The cost of the infrastructure, the roads and the pipes and all that, all adds to the overall costs of building houses. And we are out of whack internationally, so there's a big job to do there.
Part of the conversation at the moment is also about looking at how our housing and housing that's going to be built in the future is also going to face up to issues like climate change and our very quickly growing populations. Is that something that the National Party is consciously thinking about when thinking about reviewing the RMA?
Yes, obviously you've got to be mindful of the long-term pressures. But obviously where you build houses is it's important to factor in floodplains and coastal erosion and things like that. But there's plenty of land on which to build in New Zealand. It's a matter of getting on with it. And that has a real impact. The other element, of course, is rents. And what we've seen from this government has been a war on landlords. And that might make them feel good. But the consequence has been that rents have gone up significantly, about $50 a week since the government formed. And that's putting real pressure on households and also students and everybody having to pay these higher rents. Now, part of the problem is that all the things that they've introduced individually might make sense. Oh, yes, more insulation, more rights for tenants, extending the bright line test. All these things individually might sound like a good idea, but if you do them collectively, all together, rapidly, the consequence is that it's not actually compulsory for people to rent out houses. If it's all too hard and complicated and uncertain, people get out. And then there's a shortage of rental properties, and that drives the price up.
Perhaps that's a bit of a false equivalency to make there, though, in some ways, because perhaps the bigger problem is there just not being enough housing for people to get into, if that is the issue, rather than those safety measures, as you were just mentioning there, being the problem. What would you say to that?
It's compounding the pressure. The point is that, there's a shortage of supply, but then if you make it you know, I'm out and about talking to people. I'm in the Kapiti Coast at the moment. You frequently bump into people who said, oh, yeah, I used to have a couple of rental properties, but it's all too much of a hassle. I can't be bothered. It's too risky if you to get a disruptive tenant. Now, the rules are that it's virtually impossible to move them on. I'm not going to do it. And so the house gets sold and somebody gets to buy it, which is fine, but there's a shortage of properties available for rent. I was in Gisborne last week. Incredible increase in rental prices in Gisborne because there's a shortage of supply and compounded with all these new regulations coming on top. So it's individually, you look at all these things and say, yes, I suppose, yep, that makes sense, yep, that's good. But when you add them all up in the short space of time, at a time when we're already under pressure...
I think a lot of people, as you just mentioned, Paul, a lot of people would agree that, yes, we do have a very high price for renting in New Zealand, and that is an issue. Yep. But perhaps other people would argue that getting more housing more readily available is a better way of dealing with this rather than holding back on introducing legislation to protect renters' rights or make it easier to live in these houses.
You've got to do everything. It's a question of adding pressure. And you're right. I mean, we're at an election, and part of an election is a referendum on the performance of the government. And so 3 years ago, housing was the number one issue. Labor came in. They promised that they were going to build 16,000 houses through Kiwi Build in 3 years. And they've delivered, I think, the latest figure is 602. So they have been a complete flop on what their housing policy is, and they should be held to account for that. Our view is that the best way you can make progress is by dealing with the regulatory burden around and costs around housing. It's not, the RMA is important, but it's broader than that. It's the attitude of councils, it's building sort of regulations. It's all the costs that have been added on, often with very good intentions around health and safety, but some of those have gone too far and have added significant costs to building houses. And so there's a lot of things that we're going to need to work on. Competition within the building materials market is critical. All you can do is focus on that overall goal of reducing the cost of new houses. The other thing just of interest overnight, just before you forget, we had the Australian budget overnight, which included significant tax relief. The Aussies get it, the National Party gets it in terms of putting more money into the hands of people, short-term tax relief from the 1st of December. Labor and the Greens don't. They want to put up taxes during the recession. So that is the other real issue that's bubbling away today.
Well, we might come back to that in just a second, but I did just want to touch base on something that's come out in the last couple of days around perhaps internal party conversation and what's happening there. We're seeing Denise Lee, some leaked emails around her response to Judith Collins announcing a potential review into Auckland Council during a radio interview. I think one of the emails says it was incredibly poor form and displays a shockingly bad example of poor culture. What do you think about that, Paul?
It's just a storm in a teacup. During a campaign, there's lots of decisions made rapidly. You don't have a chance to sit down collectively and sort of go through it in the normal process. You've got to move fast. And so, that was just a comment made that's been spread around maliciously. And so, our idea is to just get on with it and campaign hard. And we've only got 10 days to go or less, and the sort of distractions that our opponents love, and they'll jump up and down and they'll make a big song and dance about it, but it's not something that's concerning us at all.
I did just want to touch base before we run out of time on National's economic development policy. We've seen that National would set a target to get unemployment down to 4% by 2025. Sure. How would you manage to do that?
Well, it's a matter of absolutely having a focus on where we get the jobs from and how we create them. And it's about stimulating the economy in the short term with tax relief from the 1st of December, which puts $3,000 into the hand of the average income earner. That will encourage spending and get the economy ticking over. Then you need to recognise that it's not government programs. It's not sort of Phil Twyford or Shane Jones deciding that we're going to shoot some possums or plant some flax bushes or build a pool and whangarei or whatever. It's actually private sector investment that creates jobs. And the recipe for that hasn't really changed. It's about keeping taxes low. It's about pushing back against the tide of regulation that's overwhelming so many businesses, and stop adding costs onto businesses that they can't cope with so that they feel confident to take on that extra worker. You know, there's tens of thousands of businesses, large and small, that, you know, what we need is for them to take on one, two, three extra workers and start something new. And that requires confidence and it requires investment. And that's why we're really focused on doing everything we can to make it more likely that those people make that investment and take that chance. And that will be the absolute focus of our policies. And as you go back to the last 2 years of National, under us, the country was creating 10,000 jobs a month. And that's the sort of dynamism that you need in the economy.
You've also said in this policy that there'd be no tax increases or introducing any new taxes, as you've just mentioned. One of the other things that's mentioned, though, is suspending next year's minimum wage increase. And I know there'll be a lot of people possibly quite concerned about that listing right now. What is the logic behind that?
Well, because there's been a very significant increase in the minimum wage over the last 3 years, more than 20%. Look, the whole point of government policy is to have a higher wage economy and to drive wages up, but it's got to be based on the ability of a business to pay and productivity. You can't sort of just, I mean, if it was a simple matter of Grant Robertson and ministers saying to businesses, you must pay people more, they can, then you know, you can't go to the customers in New York and Beijing and London and say, we demand that you pay more for our stuff. Just doesn't work like that. The world doesn't work like that. It's got to be based on value and productivity. And so there's been these very significant increases. The last increase in the minimum wage by a dollar on the 1st of April at a time when when most businesses were shut and had no revenue. And so it makes it too difficult for businesses to be able to cope with that and continue to hire people. So you've got to be a bit more pragmatic about the pace of change. And so we're saying right now the best thing we can do to create an environment where jobs are going to be created is have a pause for a bit of time in terms of adding extra costs so that people can get back on their feet, get their businesses profitable again, and then start expanding. That's what we need.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Paul Goldsmith. We really appreciate it. Good luck on the campaign trail, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks, bye.
That was What's Up with Opposition List MP Paul Goldsmith.